The market analysis segment is coming your way in seconds. I'm John Torpy, producer at Market to Market. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
This is the Friday, August 20, 2021 version of the market analysis segment for Market to Market. Widespread rain chances and a private estimate of a larger crop pressured the commodity markets. For the week, September wheat fell 48 cents, while the nearby corn contract dropped 30 cents. An increased crop size prediction was not enough to offset sales to China in the soy complex. The September soybean contract declined 79 cents. September meal shed 4.30 per ton. December cotton declined $1.18 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, September Class 3 milk lost 49 cents. An up week in the livestock sector. October cattle gained 92 cents. September feeders added 242. And the October lean hog contract improved to 10. In the currency markets, U.S. dollar index jumped 100 ticks. September crude oil shed 5.71 per barrel. COMEX gold added 6.50 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index dropped nearly 34 points to finish at 493.45. Now here to provide insight is one of our regular market analysts, Mr. Mark Gold. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
I'm very well, and I wish I could say the same about some of these commodity markets. The wheat market down, a couple of factors from the outside looking in. A dry Russia, you would think, would improve U.S. prices, but it's not. There's some sympathy to other crops. What do you see as the big factor in wheat this week?
Well, I think as much as anything else, fears of COVID, the strong dollar. We've moved this dollar back over 93 cents, which certainly doesn't encourage exports. There's still the Egyptians looking at buying Romanian wheat, Ukrainian wheat. There was more Russian wheat in back of that. So the world doesn't seem to be running out of wheat, and demand has been an issue. And some of these rains will certainly help regenerate some of the soil moisture for the planting of the winter wheat.
Makes up those decisions, which would lead to more wheat in the pipeline. So if I'm sitting around right now noticing I've done a 180 in 2 weeks, what do I do next week?
Well, to me, there's still a lot of risk in this wheat market, particularly Chicago and Kansas City. The funds have come out of a lot of their positions after tonight. I think they're pretty close to even. But I think Minneapolis wheat still has a story. Milling wheat's going to be in short supply. We know that. It acted pretty well today considering what the other markets have done. But overall, I think we can see a sell-off here. But wheat stocks are relatively tight. And until we see some of the other countries come in, we've got the dryness in Argentina, the dryness in Russia. Southern Russia had a little bit of rain. But there's still going to be global tightness for this wheat crop. So I think, you know, buying the breaks probably wouldn't be a bad idea, but how deep is the break? I think it'll depend on the corn and the beans.
A lot of people came together this week to talk about crops and agriculture in general as they converged on the Iowa State Fair. I think you thought I was going to say something else, but that's what our Twitter question is about something else that came in. Shane in Nebraska, who I did have a chance to see at the Iowa State Fair. Hope you did well. Shane's asking from Bloomfield, Nebraska, how much impact does this Pro Farmer Tour have on the market?
Well, it has an effect as we start getting these results in. And if it's going contrary to what the market is thinking, it certainly has an impact. If it's just confirming what we think is going on, then there's less of an impact. But the crop tour today came out with the final of 177 against the government's 174.6. That's about 2.5 bushels more. Tack that onto the carryouts, you could add, you know, 200 million under the carryouts pretty quickly out here. And that's, I think the market's been sensing that the rains we have had have stopped the losses and helped a lot of the areas. The question has been pretty much the entire growing season. Is it so bad in the northern plain states, South Dakota, North Dakota, northern Iowa, and Minnesota? Is it bad enough to offset how good it is in a lot of other places? It looks net-net. Yes, the crops are going to be down, but not as bad, because what's happening south of I-80 is certainly bringing up yields.
All right, you wrote this week a couple of times discussing the way the market would respond. It would open up one direction and then reverse course heavily. The market was doing that today again, just like it done the rest of the week. But that then came news leaked out about the EPA involving U.S. biofuel blending, possibly mandating their 2020 levels, or there would be lower 2020 blending levels. What's that ethanol story doing to the corn market moving forward?
Well, with crude oil taking this kind of a drop, we haven't been this low in months in the crude oil, and that certainly questions ethanol demand. That just puts more and more pressure on corn. And if there's going to be a reduction in mandates, you know, it just doesn't bode well for the demand side of the equation out there. So the biggest problem, I think, with the corn market is the funds are so long even after today, about 230,000 contracts. All the technicals point to this thing being lower and that the funds should actually be short, not long. So I'm not sure that the funds are done selling the corn. I think they've done a pretty good job lightening up on beans, wheat, meal, and oil to some extent. But the corn is still a problem, in my opinion.
You also wrote, if we finished below the 100-day moving average, which I believe we did today, that is going to open the door maybe to some of the computers to kick us lower. Do you still buy stock in that statement?
I do. We closed significantly. We closed just a quarter cent under it last night and significantly under it tonight. So that's 2 days in a row. I would think we'd see more funds selling out here. Technically, it's not a good signal. The 200-day moving average is down around $5. There's trend line support about 525. But I think both those targets are in play here. It's not that it might not be a bad move to buy something down there, because there's still a lot of heat out here and a lot of dryness. We don't have the crop in the bin. So, you know, on a harder break than we've seen here, if the funds can lighten up significantly, then I think is the time to take a look at the long side again.
Do you see the same story developing in the soybean market, demand and weather squaring off?
Well, the weather is certainly, you make the beans in August, and we've had some good general rains around the country in August, which I think is pushing up the yield. Pro Farmer came out with a 51.2, a bushel 0.2 above the USDA. I think that's a reasonable number. And, you know, the charts, again, look weak. Funds are still long. I think it's still a bit of an issue. They're still long a fair amount of oil. So I don't see where the strength is going to come from. I mean, how do you address a market that you have a really bullish report on the 12th of August? You have Chinese buying and Mexico buying over 2.2 million metric tons of beans this month, and we're on our lowest levels of the month. So something is fundamentally wrong with this market that I think farmers need to pay attention to.
All right. What do you pay attention to then to see what changes? Because is there a technical signal coming? Because you're kind of indicating maybe the fundamental signal isn't jiving. So is there a technical thing coming?
Well, I think when we closed under where the day before the reports came out, which we've done now in the beans and the corn, I believe that's pretty significant. It's telling you that whatever news you built into it has been rejected. And despite all the huge exports in the beans, we're not reacting positively, we're reacting negatively. I mean, we're down 75 cents for the week. So that certainly doesn't bode well, in my opinion.
The livestock producer begs to differ. They had a little better week. But on, let's start with live cattle. What is the reason for that movement higher?
Well, we've seen the trade in the north, 127, 128. South, they hardly get over 122, 123 in that range. Box beef through the roof again. We were up another 314 to 344 and change. We've got to increase the slaughter out here. Now, some people think that some of the local locker plants may be ramping up for more production, which would be good. We need to see the October cattle close over 130. We've come up against it a number of times. We've seen October cattle in the last couple of days, up 90, down 90, up 90, down 90, up 90 again today, but we can't close over 130. If we close over 130, I think it'll be an indication that the prices in the South are too cheap. Packers are making good money out here, but we need to do something about that box beef. And the cure for that is picking up the slaughter rates. So hopefully we can see plants going back to full production, get the boxed beef prices down, increase demand at the counter, and hopefully the packers have money. There's still margins in these cattle to pay up for more cattle.
Well, and we quote the near contract in live cattle, but if you look at December, I mean, that moved to a contract high. Does that tell you something about what's to come?
Well, I certainly think it's an indicator. The market doesn't want to break. I think it's just trying to bide its time. I don't see anything in the cattle on feed report tonight that's going to make a big difference. Placements were one tick over what they were looking for. Marketings and on feed came in right on the averages. So I don't know that there's anything there that's going to help the October cattle gap open over the 130. If we do close it over there, that's positive.
Real quickly here, when it comes specifically to feeder, you kind of talked a little bit about it already, but is this heat influencing anything of this feeder market?
Well, certainly pasture's rough. Guys have seemed to want to, you know, feed more corn. I think demand for corn will be up. But with the corn prices lower, it's certainly helping these feeder cattle prices. So that, to me, long-term is a plus for the cattle market.
Hog market, we continue to discuss exports to China. They're buying beans. Are they still buying pork?
They have been. But once the August hogs went off the board, they were right on 109, 110 in that area. The question is, will the Octobers try to get up to that level? The best they've done this week, I think, was about 91 cents. We're still a long way away. But if demand continues to be strong, I think we can move these hogs a little bit higher, particularly if the cattle do well as well.
Is that really the only help to the hog market, is the cattle market, or is there a feed issue?
No, China's the big issue there. Certainly cattle help, but China is going to be the big issue. We need to see them continuing to buy pork. I've always said 100 times that there's nothing more beneficial to the American farmer than a hungry communist with a dollar in his pocket. So hopefully we'll see him buy more.
I got to say, I think that's a new one. I don't think I've heard you use that one before. That's good.
Oh, you haven't been around enough. I've used it plenty.
Maybe they're talking to me at the same time when you say that every time.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Real quickly, this is a yes or no. Is the dollar going higher or lower next week? Okay.
I would have to say higher. It's a tough call, but I would say higher. Okay. It's acted real good all week.
Thank you, Mark. We'll continue that discussion in a moment. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Paul.
That will do it for this installment of Market to Market. We will talk more in Market Plus. You can join us there. Find that on our website of markettomarket.org. We are part of the millions of minutes of podcasts created each week, so subscribing is key to not missing an episode of the Market Analysis, the Market Plus, and the MTOM. If you are planning to binge a few or you just haven't been back for a while, resubscribe where you get your podcasts. Next week, we'll look at the economic impact of this season's drought and wildfires. Thank you so very much for watching. Have a great week.
Market to Market is a production of Iowa PBS, which is solely responsible for its content.
What's the most complex industry on Earth? It's not genetics, or meteorology, or logistics. It's a business that involves them all. It's farming. Thank you, farmers, from Pioneer.
Tomorrow. For over 100 years, we've worked to help our customers be ready for tomorrow. Trust in tomorrow. Information is available from a Grinnell Mutual agent today.